Hey, South Florida, millions of people have switched to Sprint this past year. To celebrate, you could save 50% on most Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile rate plans when you switch to Sprint. And now with our 30-day satisfaction guarantee, try Sprint, and if you're not satisfied, just return your phone, and we'll refund your money. No gimmicks, it's that simple. Visit a Sprint store, Sprint.com, or call 800-SPRINT-1 to learn more.
Carrier features differ, subject to $30 activation fee, new line port and credit. Excludes taxes, surcharges, add-on, and premium content. See website for eligible plans. Savings until 5/31/18 after pay full amount. Offer coverage not available everywhere. Guarantee excludes international usage not included in plan, premium content, and third-party billing. Exclusions and restrictions apply.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Show. I'm your host, of course, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and I am very, very excited, taking a little break from painting tonight, and I'm doing a fantastic B.B. King painting that will be up probably posted this week, but we're not talking about that tonight, man, because I am very, very excited. We've got ballet pop singer-songwriter Rachel Sage on. How are you, Rachel?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thanks for being on the show. You're classing the joint up around here, I tell you. It's
awesome. Well, you know, I have a song that I dedicated to B.B. King on my new record, so it's all meant to be. It's a full circle.
Outstanding. Yeah, I had no idea. That's no, I listened to the whole record. It's a great it's a fantastic record. And we're going to be playing some of the tracks in the show here on it. Choreographic is the name of it, ladies and gentlemen. And we have links up to Rachel's page and whatnot. And the tracks you'll be hearing off the new album are all available wherever you buy digital music at. I can't talk tonight, Rachel. I don't know what's wrong with me.
that's okay.
Yeah, you're everywhere. You're on iTunes.
Well, I try to be accessible. What we said in our house growing up is you don't get into this business to be shy. You know, so I welcome the interaction. And I hope people find me on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all those fun places.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. Now, as I understand it, I'm looking at my show notes and whatnot here. Mm-hmm. You started out as a ballet dancer and then moved into music, and there was painting in there at some point too. How did how did the Rachel Sage story go?
Well, really, I was always doing music. So from the time I was about 2.5, I started playing piano by ear, and my parents are not musical, but they had the thoughtfulness to have a piano in their living room. And I'm sure for them it was just a piece of pretty furniture, but it became my best friend pretty quickly. And so I would go to my dance class from the age of, 5 or 6 and come home and play all of the pieces that I heard by ear. So they knew that something was up.
Wow.
So the worlds of music and dance for me were integrated almost immediately. And that was really my musical education was from, both pop radio and also classical music that I heard in ballet.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I was going to say, playing by ear, some of the the classic ballet pieces. You know, you're talking pretty heavy duty classical music. Man, you have a set of ears on you, I tell you, because it's so important with balance and all that kind of stuff with your ear, and then you're playing by ear as well. That's amazing.
I think I just found it. I found an outlet that didn't discriminate. In any way, it felt like whatever I put into it, it would give me back. And if I was upset about something, I could sit at the piano and, play an instrumental piece. It would make me feel better. If I was excited about something, I could sit and write some, little 5-year-old lyrics and put it to music. And I was thrilled that someone would acknowledge it and say, wow, you made a song. there weren't a lot of things at that age that seemed kind of magical like that for me. So it was definitely, love at first spiel, as we say.
Nice, nice. Now you, this was all in New York, right? You grew up in New York City.
I did. And I also grew up in suburbs of New York. I was born in Port Chester and I lived in Rye and Stamford and Greenwich. And so, but my heart was always set on living in Manhattan. And from about age 11, I started attending the School of American Ballet, which was in the building of Juilliard School of Music. And so I'd take the train every day after regular academic school, and I'd get home very late at night. And thankfully, you know, I had a mom specifically. Dad was sort of checked out on the ballet, as some dads are. So my mom was very encouraging because she also had studied dance as a kid. So she got it.
Nice, nice. Well, that's so important, you know, to have a support system around. I tell youngsters all the time when they ask me, they're like, well, I want to do what you're doing. And I'm like, well, you know, you got to work real hard and surround yourself with people that are cheering you on, you know, helping you get that ball down the field. It's very important. It makes
Absolutely.
Life a whole lot
and
easier.
I had a lot of great mentors, too, growing up, but from all different disciplines, even people who weren't in the arts, but, you know, who were passionate about what they did, encouraging me and egging me on, as you said. So, you know, that is absolutely a huge part of it. And I am still really grateful to all those people. So
that's outstanding. Outstanding. Now, I'm looking at my show notes here, and it says you perform 100 dates a year. That's a lot. That is a lot. I mean, would you say that your early schooling in performance art, like in dance and whatnot, led to such a work ethic and whatnot? I mean, because that's
yeah, definitely. I mean, I think there's probably nothing more physically challenging than, you know, being a professional dancer or an athlete at that level, where you learn the system of technique and movement that ultimately liberates you to be expressive. But to get there, you have to put in, you know, many thousands of hours. And so after that, everything's kind of a breeze. You know, I think I probably worked harder at age 14 than I ever may again, but it definitely did give me my work ethic. And it also, you know, gave me a sense of independence, because you know, you worked really hard while the strict teacher was in the room telling you what to do, but you could only really improve and fulfill your potential if you continued to work that hard when no one was watching. So.
Right. All right. Well, it's amazing. I've always been fascinated with dance. I, you know, I'm a clunky, always been a clunky guy, never been any good at anything like that. But I tell you, I had a teacher when I was younger that opened my eyes to high culture, I would say. Took me to a ballet, and I don't know, I must have been in like 7th, 8th grade, something like that. And I remember seeing that and hearing the classical music and everything, which was totally different than the oldies my father was always listening to.
That's what my father listened
to,
too, was oldies, 50s music.
Right. Well, then I heard the real oldies. You know, and with dance and everything, and I tell you, it changed my world. My eyes were opened, and I was like, "Wow!" And I just couldn't get enough of, the art gene was activated then.
That's great. You know, I actually had classical accompanists who also integrated pop music in creative ways. You know, there'd be this Russian classical pianist who would accompany our class. And then she would throw in the odd Gershwin song or even a Beatles song, with sort of a classical flair. So I always appreciated those people who kind of broke the rules a little bit. And School of American Ballet didn't seem to mind when they would have a little fun with it, because it still fit the movement we were doing, and it sort of blended in, you know.
I hear you. I hear you. Well, I tell you, and any young guys out there, any young bucks, it's a fantastic way to impress a gal. Anybody can take a gal to a concert or whatnot, but if you take her to the symphony, she thinks you're James Bond. That's all I'm saying. You know,
I would agree with that, actually. Yeah. Someone's taking me to the ballet tomorrow, and I certainly was delighted to say yes.
There you go. There you go. I'm telling you.
And believe it or not,
no,
it's not something I do often. I haven't been to the ballet in a long, long time. I happened to do it as a kid, but I left that world for many, many years, and it was really the TV show Dance Moms that kind of pulled me back into it by starting to use my music. And then that's sort of was the jump start to me writing a whole album with movement and choreography in mind.
That's outstanding. Now, Dance Moms is on Lifetime, I believe, right? And you've had music on that. That's pretty cool. I've never, I'll admit, it's probably a fantastic show. I don't know. I've never seen it.
Well, it's certainly
a
show with
a lot of
drama.
You have to like drama
to like the show. But I really just tune in because I love to see the kids dance. I'm a little less, you know, interested in the sort of soap opera aspect of it. But, boy, those kids, it's like watching, you know, Olympic gymnasts or figure skaters. They are just so committed and so consistently excellent and hitting their marks perfectly. It's pretty staggering what they've been able to master in their, you know, 13, 14 young years. So very humbling.
And especially with, you know, people yelling in the background. I don't know. And I don't know. I'm
exactly.
saying that it's a joke. I don't know.
It's got to be distracting, right?
Oh man, I would think my girlfriend Danny loves these some of these reality shows where I'm not a big fan of where people are arguing. It's not my thing.
Yeah,
but
I put the mute button on and that starts to happen. But the minute they start dancing is when I'm queuing in. But yeah, it was a strange phenomenon. You know, I heard through some fans actually that these dance competitions were using my music before they even had the TV show. So there were a lot of videos up on YouTube with young dancers from all over the country, the Midwest and, you know, all different places dancing to songs, you know, from as long ago as my first few albums, 10, 15 years ago. And when I saw these videos, I was so delighted because, you know, it's just a cool thing. It's kind of like hearing your music on the radio for the first time, you know, seeing someone with a lot of skill and talent dance to your music, and you didn't even have to do any work. You know, it was already created, and they just took it upon themselves to create something, you know, even more impressive, you know, integrating with the music. So it really also threw me back to that time in my life because it was such an idyllic, just extraordinary experience to dance with the New York City Ballet and things like the Nutcracker and at Lincoln Center. And you know, it's a time of my life that I have often drawn upon for lyrics and songwriting, but it just kind of intensified that relationship.
Outstanding, outstanding. And folks, like I said, we have a link up to Rachel's website, rachelsage.com. And when you get there, there's also links to all of her social media. And if you're like me, and Rachel can attest to this because we were just talking about it before we came on the air tonight, Rachel, did I not sign up for your email list? And
you
I suggest
did.
You
I got
do
the little beep
thing.
On my phone, and I clicked it, and I was so happy to see you had just signed up. I love that. The magic of technology.
I'm telling you, it's great. It's fantastic when it works. You know, and it does pretty much the majority of the time. But it is. It's fantastic. And I want to play. Let's play a track so people know. Just how great this music is. Now, I have your whole – we can play any track off of it. What do you think we should hit people with first? I know Try, Try, Try is doing well on the charts right now.
It is. It's kind of like the pop single. But I think it would be cool to play the first song on the record, Heaven is a Grocery Clerk, because it's a bit quirkier. And it's a song that I wrote inspired by a painting, which is a little unusual for me.
Outstanding. Here it is, folks. Check it out.
Bye. listening to Rachel Sage. Get a clean copy of this track wherever you buy digital music.
I'm feeling I might never find my place, but heaven is a grocery store. Heaven is a grocery
Outstanding. Outstanding. That's the opening track on Rachel Sage's new album, Choreographic. I love this track, Rachel. Very, very good. It's a good
Thank
album.
You.
It's a good album, start to finish. Now, did you set out to do a full album, or were you initially going to do an EP?
Oh, yeah.
Or?
Absolutely. I try to put out an album every year, year and a half or so, but this particular one, I absolutely had the thematic idea to do an album of songs all inspired by dance and movement. And I had the title way before I had any of the songs. So I knew that I wanted to reunite with my former co-producer, Andy Zula, who used to make childhood demos with me when I was a teenager. And he was around in my life when I was a very serious ballet student. So I knew that he would get that whole relationship to the music and dance of my youth. And he also happens to really like the TV show Dance Moms, and he's worked in Broadway and, you know, film. He just has a very visually oriented approach to music, just like I do.
Outstanding. And as we mentioned before, we do have links up, folks, and you can get all these tracks on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you buy digital music. Rachel's everywhere. Now, and you're also out in support of the new album here. And I'm looking
yes,
at the...
I did a big tour of the Midwest and California and a little bit of the UK, and I'll continue on that in just a few days. I'm headed to Maryland, and then I do Massachusetts and New York again. So busy, busy.
Wow.
Just how I like it.
Outstanding. Well, that's great. That is great. It's always good to be working. You know, you can't.
It is.
Look
and
at
it
you.
Also
You're
gives
be
me
in,
a chance to try everything differently every night. You know, I have ADD, so I get bored doing it the same way. I got to mix it up and get back up there and do it again a different way. But I would love to come and perform in your area. You're in Florida, and you got to tell me where the
definitely.
Best small listening room would be in your area when we're off the air. Shoot me some ideas and I'll come and visit.
It sounds good. It sounds good. Oh yeah. They would eat you up in Boca, Rachel. They would eat you up in Boca.
Fabulous. They would eat me up in Boca Raton, huh? That would be wonderful.
Right.
You know, I have some relatives there who've lived there and enjoyed the wonderful weather. It's, you know, they're used to the humidity.
Oh, I know. I'm telling you, I live right next to it. I could throw a rock and land it. It would land in Boca. It is, well, I'd have to throw it really hard, but it would, you know, it's like a mile or so away.
Okay.
Now, also on the website, what I wanted to get into a little bit is you also paint and write poetry and writings.
A lot of people tell me I remind them of their really artsy friend. You know, like everybody who meets me is like, I have a friend who's really artsy like you. And I'm like, great. I want to be that gal to everybody. But, yeah, I've been painting and drawing since I was a kid. And it's, you know, not something that I really studied formally, but it's something that's a really great sort of expressive outlet for me. And the more I've done it, the you know, more positive the response has been. So I've actually done a handful of formal, you know, art shows in New York at some small galleries now. And, you know, I've painted a lot of my artwork on clothes and decorated furniture. And, you know, I just try to not have any rules about what I'm allowed to do or what's a distraction. I consider it all sort of part of the same goal, which is to communicate and be expressive and just, you know, labors of love, as many as I can have.
I hear you. I'm looking at some of your pieces right now on the website, and I'm blown away.
Oh,
it's outstanding. I love that piece.
Very
on
colorful.
The glass
that's
there.
That's my MO. I have yet to make, you know, a whole show that was black and white, but I guess, you know, that would be shocking to some people, so maybe I should.
Well, it is. It's great. It's great in the detailed work, and it's just. I know these aren't real quick, so that is yeah, that's good stuff. Sorry, folks,
that's
I was getting distracted.
True, but
I
do go
painting.
Into sort of like a frenetic zone. I don't know about you. When you paint, do you kind of go into a zone where nothing will sort of pull you from it, and you just are glued to the canvas?
Yeah, I do. I do. Sometimes they come easy, and then sometimes. I tell you, I go into that zone more often if something's fighting me a little bit, and that's not always a bad thing. Anybody doing their craft or what they're supposed to do, you know, there's an exhilaration to it. And when people dig it, it's even more, you know. And not that I paint for other people all the time, but it is. I don't know. There's a great quote by. I just told somebody this quote the other day. It's in my head now. By Mark Twain, and he said there's two I'm paraphrasing, of course. There's two important I can't remember now. It's very important when you're born is one of the most important, you know, when you're born, and it's equally important when you figure out why. And that's a terrible
I like
paraphrase.
That.
But yeah,
that's okay.
You get the idea.
Listen, that's a concept certainly that I was raised on growing up, that we are all here to really serve a purpose, you know, whether you believe it's divine or it's just, you know, some other ephemeral nature to it. But, you know, the Yiddish Hebrew word for it would be, you know, beshert, you know, that something's meant to be. And I certainly believe I was meant to have that pretty white piano in my living room. But if it hadn't been there, you know, I would have done something completely different probably. So I'm lucky that it was.
Banging on pots and pans. But I bet it would have been great. I bet it would have been great.
Worked for Stomp, right?
There you go. Yeah, they did all right with it. They did all right. Let's play another track. What should we play next, Rachel? What should we hit people with, do you
think?
Why
don't you go ahead and play the, you know, the pop Try. That's been doing pretty well. You mentioned that you were raised on some retro 50s music, right? And I was too,
right.
And that certainly influenced this song.
Well, here it is, folks. This is Rachel Sage. Try. Check it out.
Something that I couldn't believe. You put a hello and goodbye, bye, bye.
to Rachel Sage. Get a clean copy of this track wherever you buy digital music.
Words in the way, nothing can say, kisses can steal. I wanna be where you can. In the way, nothing can say, kisses can see. I know you're afraid of grieving, and I'll give you my open heart. Your own keys to every room inside my haunted house, the magic in the dark, dark, dark. My haunted house, the magic in the dark, dark, dark.
Try, Try by Rachel Sage, and I didn't mean to walk over the end of that. Sorry, folks. But you can get a clean copy if you go to her website. There's links up and whatnot to all of, where you're selling the music and whatnot, and iTunes, Google Play, Amazon Prime, all that kind of stuff. Rachel, you know, this is outstanding. Now, the last album you did, was it in this a similar vein, or is this totally different from what you've been doing?
I think it's, you know, there are similarities in terms of the instrumentation, but what I think really makes this different is that while I was writing the music, I really did have that visual in mind of imagining each song as a dance. So there are certain types of symmetry in the melodies and the structures and how the themes repeat that I'm sure reflect my own sort of latent choreographic sensibilities. And, you know, I'm just starting to realize that vision in terms of making videos and having dancers perform to the music. But it's really exciting to have that multimedia dimension to an album.
And now, folks, a couple quick words from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned.
Metal Babe Mayhem is more than just an online store, it's a destination. MetalBabeMayhem.com carries over 150 rock and roll products, including clothing, jewelry, and accessories. Metal Babe Mayhem also offers Shrine clothing and Alchemy Gothic jewelry. In addition, Metal Babe Mayhem founder Allison Metal Babe Cohen is a rock and roll journalist who supports local and national artists with their rock and reviews, interviews, playlists, networking, and more. Metal Babe Mayhem is taking over the world, one shirt at a time.
YourWebDesigner.info has a special for Pop Rocks Radio listeners. Have a website designed for only $80. Normally, they're $100, but with the special code ROXX, Pop Rocks Radio listeners can save 20%. If your computer is sluggish and running slow, yourwebdesigner.info can fix it all up remotely, and with that savings code, you'll only pay $40. Yourwebdesigner.info offers hosting and other various computer-related products. Please visit www.yourwebdesigner.info and let us build your future today. Remember, All web design includes a year of hosting for free and domain name registration for a year. www.yourwebdesigner.info.
Hi folks, are you looking for a custom gift for someone special in your life? Harper Lee Jewelry on Etsy offers custom hand-stamped jewelry created using pure aluminum, brass, copper, or new gold. Do you have a favorite inspiration or quote that you'd like to be represented? Well, no worries. Harper Lee Jewelry on Etsy can create a custom cuff or necklace that represents your interests or ideas with a beautiful piece of jewelry. You can find them at harperleejewelry.etsy.com.
Roxgear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun. Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS. That's ROXX for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com. Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hey, everybody. Pop artist Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year, at the end of last year, some people, we've got quite a few inquiries where people wanted paintings, but, you know, the economy's getting better, but it's still kind of rough for a lot of people, and they just can't afford my normal larger paintings. You know, they love my work, but they just can't afford the big ones. So what we did on that is I've been picking different themes and painting smaller ones, 16 by 20 canvas, perfect size canvas for an apartment or a room. It's not overwhelming. It's not a big, huge thing you'd see in a gallery or in a big millionaire's house. But it's good. And what they are, we've been selling those on eBay. So if you go to the website, www.jamierocks.us, you'll see the eBay auctions there. I try to have four or five per week up at all times. And, you know, we don't have any control over what those sell for. So you might get a good deal. But definitely worth checking out if you're on a budget, and, you know, I hope one of my original paintings will be hanging in your home soon. Thank you for your interest, and on back to the show now. I always ask my musician friends, because I'm a child of the 80s, I grew up in the 80s, and I love music videos. To me, a music video is you know, it's like making a painting, it's art. And I always ask my musician friends, I'm like, do you dig doing videos? And about half of them are like, yo, yeah, they're great. You know, they love them. And then the other half are like, it's kind of a necessary evil. Where do you fall?
I love making videos.
I
could make videos like all the time, I think I'd be happy just doing that. But the problem is they cost a lot of money, or if they don't, they require a lot of time and, you know, collective planning and organization and production, and that part of it I'm not so keen on. I love generating the ideas and art directing and kind of, you know, dressing everyone on set in basically my clothes, you know, which is what I did for the I Don't Believe It video. I kind of, you know, the frustrated stylist in me gets its moment whenever I make videos, and I have a lot of fun with that. But yeah, I just love that opportunity. You know, and I don't feel there's pressure to have it be, you know, this specific perfect realization of the visual for the song. I really do subscribe to that attitude that it's a slice of life. It's a moment that you're extending that's, you know, informed by the song. But I think some people maybe don't like making videos because they almost feel like they're, you know, they're trying to capture the soul of the song, which is nearly impossible, and then it can become very intimidating. But I just approach it like it's almost like another gig. It's just a fancy gig.
a fancy gig. There you go. And
exactly.
Which involves
where you get your hair and makeup done, you know.
I suspect you do that before you play live gigs as well. Which you
no,
yeah,
well, I do it myself for those. For a video, I actually usually recruit a professional. So there's the big difference.
I gotcha. Yeah, that's cool. My girlfriend Danny's a makeup artist, and I always get a big kick.
Oh, wow.
She does a lot of
okay, so you know what I'm talking about.
Like that. Yes, and when she leaves with that big rolling black bag thing,
right,
case
the suitcase
thing she's got, I'm like something serious is going down somewhere. You know.
Oh yeah, and then when it explodes on set and you have to put it all back together, that's what I said.
let me put it this way. We just bought a house, and she has an entire room. Room. It's Danny's room / guest room.
All
of that.
With
all
her makeup.
So.
Makes perfect sense to me.
Oh, yeah. And,
you know, it's
I'm
about transformation in a lot of ways, and the idea of, you know, the written word or a melody.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to become, you know, the sort of mini film, the short film, for me is just incredibly exciting and kind of magical. And also because I studied theater and acting in college, and I, you know, in the future, I would love to make movies. So it's sort of like a little baby step in that direction to be able to make videos.
Well, outstanding. I want to see a movie that you make. That's fantastic. That's very cool. Now you, I know you play the piano and you've been playing forever. You said,
mm-hmm.
Do you primarily write with the piano? And it, you know, when you're out on tour, do you say, okay, I need an hour of me time. I got to get this down or something. Or how does that?
You know,
I hate the word.
I write a lot on tour on guitar because sometimes the piano is just so. It's such a beast. It's so big that I don't always even bring it into the, you know, into my room. It might be like. You know, in the luggage room or in the van, you know, locked up in the parking garage or whatever. So, it, you know, it's a very heavy, hard case, you know, commitment to schlep that thing around. but when I'm home, of course, I write on the keyboard. And, you know, on tour, I've got my guitar in my hotel room. And a lot of the songs lately that I've been writing, I'll start writing on guitar and then I take them later to the piano where I have a bit more, you know, ability, frankly, and so that I can arrange them more interestingly on the piano. But I just wrote a song on guitar 2 days ago, you know, just for the everyone who was impacted by what happened in Orlando. And it's one of those songs, it's like, it's hard to play it, but I wanted to, you know, I wanted to write something as a tribute and I didn't force it. You know, I thought it might happen sooner and then I just sort of forgot about it. And then all of a sudden I read something else about some of the victims and about their lives and who some of these people were. And suddenly I had a song. So, you know, sometimes these songs sort of write themselves and your job is really just to kind of get out of the way and let it happen.
All right. Do that, that whole Michelangelo where you see the sculpture in the marble and just got to let it out. Yeah. I hear you. I think I saw that you posted it on Facebook, I believe, right? Or a
snippet
of it?
A few seconds of it. Yeah. But I finished the whole thing and I'm going to try to get into the studio as soon as I can to record it. I'm just going to, you know, try to find the time to do that. And hopefully I'll be able to share that soon.
I'm telling you, I can't wait. And what a tragedy. Oh my gosh. Orlando got hit hard that week.
I think we're all grieving and we're sort of sleepwalking through the grief together. And, you know, I can't really add anything to the dialogue about it except to try to create art that honors those people.
That's what we got to do. That's what we got to do. It's, I'm telling you, it was not a fun experience making texts and calls the next morning to people we know that could have possibly been there, you know, doing a head count.
Yeah,
and,
I can imagine.
It's just terrible.
Right there.
Oh, yeah. And it's, you know, just people aren't having a good time. They're trying to, at least. And I don't know. I'm just, you know, I'm at that age, Rachel, where I see stuff like that, and I get so mad about it just because it's like the world we live in, and it shouldn't happen. You know, we should be putting people on the moon or something. I don't know. But,
I'm
you know, you're right. As an
I've
artist,
a,
all you got to do
I've been
is...
a hippie all my life. I've been, you know, a peace-loving person all my life. And, you know, what's also just so, you know, kind of unnerving about it is that so many different types of people, you know, come together and express their love and grief. And then, you know, an equal amount of energy seems to emerge from the other direction,
the other
where
side.
People just
right.
want to kind of pick on each other and accuse each other of processing it the wrong way or saying the wrong thing. And it sort of triggers a whole other, you know, litany of misunderstandings. And so, you know, there came a point where I had to kind of log off and couldn't really be on Facebook for a few days just because I didn't
want
to see people who I knew, you know, just kind of debating the,
and like,
the deep, fine details
and
of it
like,
all. And yeah.
Right. It, yeah, exactly. And, you know, I wanted to ask you, you know, and this will sound kind of, I guess this is the poet in me coming out. Here you are, Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
You're a fantastic musician, a rose in the sidewalk of all of this stuff at this time we're in. And we're in a very, bizarre time period, I think, in society, you know, because you're right. There's such this dichotomy of just, I don't know, batshit nut, or I'm sorry, bat crazy on one side, and you know, just and logic on the other. I don't understand, but
mm-hmm.
Do you find that difficult to create in the time we're in? I mean, obviously not. You just put an album out and everything, and. You know, it's a great album, but I mean, is it hard? Do you think?
Thank you. Well, I mean, you know, I finished the album shortly after the Paris attacks. I came home from a tour in Europe where that had just happened. I wasn't in France, but I was in England, and we were all grieving and processing that at the end of my tour, and just, you know,
right.
it was just crazy. So I came home, and I kind of felt like people were able to distance themselves more from that here because it isn't as close. It wasn't on our soil. Whereas, you know, in Europe, even when I went to Ireland right after that, it was tangible. Everybody really was trying to comfort each other and just make sense of it. And I went right into the studio. And I do think that, you know, when terrible things happen in the world, and they do every day, we don't even always hear about them because they don't always make the news. I think that artists are thankfully, you know, equipped with something that makes us want to make sense out of what's senseless. And this is an ancient phenomenon. It's nothing
right.
that's new. And, you know, even just writers from as far back as we can, you know, chronicle, it's the stuff that made me want to be an artist, was to somehow be able to make sense out of cruelty, out of violence, out of, you know, even just someone picking on me in school. You know, you couldn't really rationalize it, but you could go to the piano and you could express how you felt about it. So, you know, I think that it's probably, you know, no more easy or hard to do that in times of social strife than others, but I think there is this sort of determination to try to create something that more people can relate to, maybe, or that can bring people
right.
together or inspire them. So we can focus you in a different way.
I just, you know, personally, as an artist, I wish the world would just get its stuff together a little more, and so we could have a break and lay on a beach for a while and not have to.
Right? Wouldn't that be nice? Yep. If we
would.
Could just, you know, erase a lot of the history that's contributing to what's going on in the present, that sure would be convenient. But, you know, we can only kind of do what we can do in our immediate,
right.
you know, day-to-day lives and try to be the best people we can be to the folks who we actually are impacting.
Exactly. I hear you. I hear you, girl. I am too.
It's got so heavy. It's because I'm a folk singer. You can't bring a folk singer on your show. All of a sudden, it gets very heavy. We could talk about, you know, Pride Month. Happy Pride.
No, that's true. There you go.
It's this weekend in New York. We're going to have a lot of celebration, and especially now more than ever, I think people are going to be out and about and showing their solidarity, and I'm looking forward to it. It's a time of year I am very proud to be a New Yorker and to be part of that community. So, woohoo!
Well, you know, New York always pulls it together, too. You know, I mean, and it is. It's,
you're right.
It's the reason, you know, that New York is New York. It's a great city. It's a fantastic city. And it's, you know, yes, and you're right. Bad things do happen. And one of the things I like about New York is they get it together, man, when they need to, you know, when the chips are down. And that's cool. That's cool. So are you going to be going down to the Pride thing? You going to be doing anything down there, do you think, or just hanging out, or?
You know, in the past, I've played at New York Pride, and last year I was supposed to play Brooklyn Pride, and then I wasn't able to. I ended up in Europe, but I think this year I'm just gonna watch and enjoy and participate, and you know, I don't have to work at it to be part of it, so
right.
I'm looking forward to that.
When I lived in San Diego, they have a ginormous Pride out there as well, and I would always do a booth every year out there. And yeah, one year I decided, you know, I said, you know, I really don't want to paint 150 Madonna paintings 2 months before Pride. And I'm just going to hang out and, you know, go to clubs with my friends and have a good time. That was a good weekend, man. Wasn't good for my bank account, but it was good for my spiritual bank account, we'll say.
Well, I'm actually playing on Friday in Maryland, so I'll be wiped out. We're going to drive there and back in one day. It's crazy.
Oh, wow.
But Saturday, I might just need to, you know, chill out, and then maybe Saturday night I'll go out and find something fun prideful to do. We'll see. I'll keep you posted. I'll post some Instagram photos. I'm certainly going to dress in rainbow colors.
Awesome. Well, there you go. I mean, you know, when it's a perfect opportunity to.
I kind of dress like that every day anyway, but.
I figured. For those who don't know, and I don't know how you couldn't know this, you have to check out Rachel's website or any of her social media folks at rachelsage.com and see Rachel's fantastic hair. It is the best. My girlfriend Danny is a big fan. I am as well. And Rachel is very, well, she's an artist. She's a very colorful gal. So there you go. How about that? Rachel,
I was actually a shy kid. Nobody can believe that. But I think that learning to embrace color is what kind of got me out of my shell. Once I started painting, and then I wanted to wear clothes that were all the colors I was painting. And from there, I sort of didn't turn back.
I hear you. Now, see, I was the exact opposite. I wore all black all the time, and then I moved to South Florida, and I've never admitted this on the air. Yes, I even own a couple Hawaiian shirts now. It's old friends of mine.
That's all right. You know who wore a lot of Hawaiian shirts when I toured with him? Eric Burden from Eric Burden and the Animals.
Really?
Yeah,
he looked great in them.
It was so festive. Every time he would emerge in a new floral pattern shirt. I just thought it was fabulous.
Outstanding.
Makes you happy.
It does. And it's cool. Temperature wise. I mean, Rachel, I want to thank you for being on the show. It's great having you on and whatnot. And I can't wait to hear more and updates and whatnot. I'm going to be following all of your social media and whatnot and staying right in touch. Let's end the show out with a track. What do you think we should end the show out with?
You mentioned B.B. King, and I did write a song inspired by him and his legacy. And it's a ballad, but I think it's uplifting. So I would play number 12, It Would Be Enough.
Oh, okay. Here it is, folks. It Would Be Enough. This is number 12 on the new album, Choreographic. You have to pick it up. And right before we play it, I want to let everybody know this will be converted to a podcast. It'll probably happen in about 45 minutes to an hour tonight, depending on how the old computer in New York's running. Hope doing fine. So shouldn't be a problem. And yes, we will be back tomorrow night as well, so I hope you tune in then. Rachel, thanks again for being on the show. You're just awesome.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Here it is, folks. It would be enough. Rachel Sage. Have a good night, everybody. But listen to this because it's really good.
It would be enough if you sang like an angel, if you sang like an angel every time. Oh, oh. It would be enough if you sang like an angel, if you sang like you've been through hell. It would be enough if you played like a genius, if you played like a genius every night. Oh, oh. It would be enough you played like a genius, you played it like you mean it. How can just one person do so many things well? Ring out with such honesty, like a sissy bell. How can just one person do so many things? We were lost, we were cold, in the middle of the night, you come to fight. It would be enough.
You're listening to Rachel Sage. Get a clean copy of this track wherever you buy digital music.
How can just one person do so many things well? Bring out with such honesty, like a system. How can just one person do so many things right? We were lost, we were cold, in the middle of the night, you come to fight.
Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Talk Radio Show has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks for Pop Rocks Limited, recorded at Deerfield Beach in South Florida for broadcast at Blog Talk Radio.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.
Saving money on groceries is about to get even easier because a brand new Walmart Neighborhood Market is opening soon near you. Enjoy low prices you can trust every day on your grocery favorites, like fresh produce, quality meats, and more. Plus, Walmart's friendly pharmacists can take care of all your prescription needs. At Walmart Neighborhood Market, shopping and saving are simple and convenient.
Your new Walmart Neighborhood Market opens June 29th at the corner of Pine Island Road and Sterling Road in Davie.
Save money, live better, Walmart.